This is a way that you and I can separate the wheat from the chaff. You know what I mean? We're going to start with the Optimist Creed. And somebody asked me the other day, why do you start your program so often with the Optimist Creed? And it's a way of signaling to dyed-in-the-wool pessimists, this may not be for you, but I know this is for you. Here we go. It's the Optimist Creed. Promise yourself to be so strong that nothing, and I mean nothing, can disturb your peace of mind. Talk about health. It's so difficult to do. I'm going to repeat it. Talk about health, happiness, and prosperity to every single person you meet, and to make all of your friends and family feel like there's something in them. Promise yourself to look at the sunny side of everything and to make your own optimism come true in your life. Promise yourself to think about the best, work for the best, and expect only, say it with me, the best. Yeah. Promise yourself to be just as enthusiastic about my success as you are about your own, and forget about the mistakes you've made in your past because you are pressing on to your greater achievements in your near future. Promise yourself to wear a cheerful countenance at all time and give so much time to your own self-improvement that you don't have time to criticize me. Promise yourself to be too large for worry, too noble for anger, and too strong for fear, and too happy to permit the presence of trouble in your life because you are an optimist. Welcome aboard.
It's showtime.
Live from on top of the world in Homer, Alaska, I'm Chris Story, and this is On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hail at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through
all I can say. How do you follow that? Other than, wow. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story, along with Mr. David Becker, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. You can find us on our website. All of our archives are available at ilovehomeralaska.com. ilovehomeralaska.com. Rick called last week after the program, or as elitists say, the program. Well, it's not just elitists, people with a bit of a southern accent as well. So elitists and those of you from the South might say program. And he talked about the four agreements, and he talked about it in such a way and with such passion that he reminded me that I haven't shared these in a while, and I'm going to now. The Four Agreements is a book written by Don Miguel Ruiz, and he's an interesting guy, surgeon. Originally, he's a classically trained surgeon, heart surgeon, ended up going through a complete transformation in his own life such that he wrote this book, The Four Agreements, and now he's a world sought after speaker. Multiple million copies of this book alone, plus The Fifth Agreement, right? You got to have that. You got to have the follow-up. Like I've written The Backyard Millionaire. You don't think The Front Yard Millionaire is coming? Oh, stand by. So The Four Agreements can be summed up just really quickly. The first is to be impeccable with your word. Second agreement is to not take anything personally. Third agreement is to make no assumptions. And the fourth agreement, do your best. It's actually not to do your best. It's to always do your best. I like that. It's so simple. It's almost too simple, isn't it? To be impeccable with your word. That means you speak not only with purpose, but with integrity. What you say is binding, is your bond. Your word is your bond. It's you honor not just who you're speaking to, but what you're saying and what's behind it, such that if you say something, we know. It's like the old adage about I can't hear a word you're saying. What you're doing is so loud. You know, it's the same thing. So only say what you mean and avoid using the word or your speech or your language against yourself or in gossip about others. It's so easy to engage in it, isn't it? I mean, we're human beings. We're curious about each other. We're curious about our friends and neighbors. So to engage into gossip, I don't sit here in judgment. Of course, we all do it. But it's a good reminder. Using the power of your words, says Don Miguel Ruiz, is the direction of truth and love. So be impeccable with your word. And don't take anything personally. Oh, man, come on. I need a little sip of Captain's coffee to wash that down. Here we go. CaptainsCoffee.com. That is so amazing. Don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. Think about that for just a minute. Nothing others do is because of you. You're not that powerful. I mean, you are and you aren't. It's what others are doing isn't as a result of your existence or not existing in their world or what you're doing or not doing. It's their issue. Don't take it personally. Don't make it about you. One of the things that I'll remind myself when I'm engaged often, and it happens from time to time, I'll find myself engaging in little mini battles. And it might be with an underwriter for a mortgage company one day, and it might be with this person and that. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. If I've got a couple days in a row or a couple things in a row where I'm embattled and I feel assaulted, I have to stop and go, wait a minute. Why am I taking this so personally, number one? And number two, could I be projecting? Could I be projecting onto the other person? Could I be, in other words, telling myself a story such that I'm the main character in their world and I'm not? Because guess who is? They are. Don't take anything personally. It's not happening because of you. You only have control over your reaction. Don't take it personally. Number three, don't make assumptions. Wow. This is a powerful question. Ask yourself, when frustrated with somebody else, when at your wit's end, when you're somebody stepped on that last nerve, ask yourself this: what else could this mean? What else? Okay, it looks like I'm making an assumption that you intended to hurt me, harm me, take something from me. You intended to insult me. I've already moved past not taking it personally, but I still see you. I'm making an assumption about what you're doing. What else could this mean? Find the courage to ask the question, what else could this mean? And then be willing to express what it is that you want. We'll be talking about how to negotiate like a millionaire a little bit later in the program, and we'll be reading from a book in the Millionaire's Library. Keep that in mind. But think about, what do you really want? If you don't know what you really want, how could you be making an assumption about what it is that they want? So know what you want and don't make assumptions. That's so dangerous. It really is in relationships, in business, in life. Affairs of the heart, affairs of government. It's making assumptions can literally rob you of joy. And then lastly, the fourth agreement, always do your best. Always do your best. Not sometimes, not when you feel like it, not when it isn't raining. Always do your best. And that's going to change from moment to moment. Don Miguel Ruiz says that. He says, in fact, it's going to change from moment to moment, but you can constantly show up. Whether you're healthy or sick, whether you're scared or fearless and on top of the world, show up and do your best. Like the little gal from Seward yesterday. What an amazing event in the pool. And what if she said, I'm not favored to win this. I'm not favored to medal, let alone gold. No. Lydia Jacoby showed up, did her best. And guess what? On that day, yesterday, in that pool in Tokyo, it was the best. Not just her best, but the best, and that's why she stood on behalf of all Americans at the top of the podium and won the gold. Always do your best. That's worthwhile reading. I didn't put that in the Millionaire Library, but I think I will. The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. The Fifth Agreement is good too, right? It's a little bit different. It's an extension of the philosophy. It isn't literally just the fifth, a whole book on the fifth. It's an extension of the philosophy, but I'd highly recommend getting the Four Agreements and putting that into your library, or as some say, library. You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. We have our Mind Bender coming up after this first break, but I want to ask you to weigh in on this real quick. This is not our for the Captain's Coffee Card Mind Bender, but it's a little bit of a question. I'd love for you to weigh in on it, and I want to separate it from our contest because this is just opinion only, and maybe you don't like contests. Maybe you've never entered a win, but you might want to enter this conversation, and I'd love you to do so by texting me at 907-299-7653, 907-299-7653. This is what I think, and I would like to know what you think. I think, and I'm no expert, I'm no doctor, but this is what I think, that if you get the vaccine for the COVID-19 or COVID-2 coronavirus, I wish they would come up with one name. If you get the vaccine for it, either of them, I think, what is there, three out available still? This is what I think, and I want to know if you agree with me. Are we on the same page? Do you have information that's contradictory of what I think? I think even if you've had the vaccine, you can still contract COVID. I think you can still spread it, but I think the idea behind the vaccine is that you're going to reduce and lessen your symptoms and lessen chance of needing to go to hospital or die. I think is what we're told. It's what I think that I've interpreted the data that's coming at me. This is the deal, that you get the vaccine, you could still catch it, you could still spread it, you'll still be sick, but you'll lessen the symptoms and lessen your chance of hospitalization. Do you agree? What do you understand? 299-7653. I'm curious. Are we on the same page? Am I missing something? Do I have even my hands around just a tiny nugget of this conversation? I'd love to know what you think at 299-7653. Stick around. We've got a lot more to come right here on Top of the World. You are listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. Chris Story here. This is What My Mom Calls the Greatest Show on Earth. I want to thank Horizon Wireless, 226-3130. Horizon Wireless, the reason that we can come here to you from the corner of West Hill and the Sterling Highway at Story Real Estate. The reason I can stand here and broadcast to you wherever you are is simply for the fact that we chose the greatest connectivity possible. That's Horizon Wireless, 226-3130. Call today, get connected, and you'll thank me later. Horizon Wireless. It's time for a Mind Bender presented today by Captain's Coffee. Let me demonstrate the product. There's nothing better than an on-air live demonstration of the product. Okay, this is me feeling a little pessimistic. Oh, I see a cup of coffee. Oh, that's good stuff, and I am now on top of the world, thanks to Captain's Coffee.
You did it! Congratulations! World's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to sell their quota. And the way things are, I guess they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea.
All right. Captain's Coffee, captainscoffee.com. Tiffany and I went through Captain's Coffee today. She got a peppermint iced tea, which, by the way, is my favorite afternoon thing to do. It is so good and refreshing. But I, of course, had to get a black manchino, quad shot Americano, four shots in a 16-ounce cup, black as the ace of spades, just the way God intended.
They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
All right, here's your question today. Remember, you're playing for a coffee card, and I tell you what else I'll do. I'm going to throw in a On Top of the World Radio t-shirt. Just mailed one out to our friend Chris in Dutch Harbor. I've got, two Jeffs, one them last week. I'm wearing my On Top of the World Radio t-shirt today, and you can probably tell the difference. Do I not sound amazing? Yes. Check. Look incredible. Check. Feel on top of the world. Check. All of this for you. Coffee card, an On Top of the World Radio t-shirt, and I tell you what else I'll do. Because this is a bit of a controversial question, I'm going to throw in a copy of my award-winning book. That's right. My mother gave it an award. The Backyard Millionaire. I'm going to give in a copy, a signed copy of that as well. Oh, by the way, have an announcement about that book. I'll tell you that in just a little bit. But here's the question. President Biden's administration, and this is, you know, to our left-leaning or Democratic listeners, this isn't political. It's just an observation. I don't consider him, I'm not saying he's not the president. I'm just saying he's not making decisions. I think, can we be honest about that? I mean, just frankly, irrespective of your political beliefs, can we just be honest that President Biden is not actually making any decisions other than, you know, breakfast? I mean, it's not even an insult. It's just a minimal observation. So hold on. So the question is, the president's administration is attempting to control speech online. Now, bear with me and hold on a second. Today, can we agree, in the Venn diagram of our lives, can we just agree, this could be common ground right here, where we say the new public square is online. In other words, we go to the public square to discourse and have discourse and conversation, and it is online. All right? That's, may not like it. I don't like social media, but that's the town square. That is today's town square. All right. If we can agree on that, they're doing this. They're attempting to limit and control speech under the pain of order of public safety. My question is for you, are you okay with that? Because this is for public safety. You know, we're going to control the speech. We're going to control who can say what and where and when. In the public square, town square. Imagine it is 1842, and we're all standing in the public square, and somebody gets up on the stump and starts to talk about something, be it medical or philosophical, religious, whatever. And the constabulary of the moment says, you know what, that seems dangerous to the public right now. And they grab them off the stump and get rid of them and say, no, you can't speak here. I mean, that's equivalent to what I think we're seeing going on here. Are you okay with it because of the guise of public safety, or do you think and worry that this might be a bad idea, slippery slope? No wrong answers. Curious as to what you say. This also is a safe space. This is a public square as well. This is your microphone. This is your opportunity to say what you think, no matter what the answer is. 299-7653, 907-299-7653. What say you? Limiting, curtailing, controlling public speech in the public square by the government. Okay, because of public safety, or a bad idea? Memories, keepsakes, and important pieces of your life deserve to be secure, safe, and comfortable. Downtown Mini Storage to the rescue. Hi, I'm Chris Story. Downtown Mini Storage has been keeping my valuables safe, secure, and dry for over 20 years. In fact, I like Downtown Mini Storage so much, I bought the company. Call Downtown Mini Storage at 299-7653 in downtown Homer, Alaska. Move in today and get your first month absolutely free at Downtown Mini Storage on Lake Street, across from SBS and Homer. Where are you going to keep your stuff? Call Downtown Mini Storage today at 299-7653. Wow, hard to believe we've owned that for a year now. I worked there 20 years ago and for the owners, and now Tiff and I own it, and I absolutely love it. Dan Coe just made this an incredible sign we'll be putting up here this next week for the Lake Street Center, which is connected to the Downtown Mini Storage. And I have to say, you know, thank you to the state of Alaska's road department and Sam specifically. She's been just fantastic to work with. What a nightmare it's been navigating Lake Street, and we feel for our tenants and business owners on that street, especially in our Lake Street Center. But the state's really done everything possible to cooperate, and Dane Dahlgren, that owns the company, doing the work. Just great people. So I feel blessed at least that we've got some really good people that are helping navigate and make that passable over there on Lake Street. So check it out, the Lake Street Center, all some great businesses, and the Downtown Mini Store. Yeah, we bought that a year ago, and it was right when COVID was announced, and we kind of backpedaled a little bit from the deal, and the owners were fine with it. They're like, hey, we don't know what's going to happen in the world. But it was about a month and a half into the COVID situation that we called them up and said, okay, deal's back on, and we move forward, and no looking back. Really happy we made that decision. The question on the table is, the Biden administration is attempting to curtail public speech, and who can say what? You've seen the dirty dozen, or the oh, come on. What is it? The people that are like banned from Facebook. There's like a dozen disinformation people or whatever, the dirty disinformation people, whatever it is. Anyway, so in relationship to all this, regarding the vaccine, Jason says it's a cure to beat all cures, a vaccine to save all, right? The famous phrase, but I'm vaccinated. And the reason I asked that question to begin with is I'm hearing more and more people in our area, people that I know. So this isn't just statistics from a website, literally people I know that were vaccinated and yet still contracted COVID-19, but didn't die. So, I mean, that was the question. Like, is that, am I getting this? Is this making sense? Here's another answer from Jessica. No, I'm not okay with it. Now, this is relative to curtailing the public speech. No, I'm not okay with it because once you allow the government to control something for the greater good of the people, we start down the same slippery road Germany went down towards World War II. Let's see. Bill says, not only a no, but a resounding hell no. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, look at this. Heather responding here to our... this is about the Lake Street. She says, you're welcome. She's one of the flaggers on the project. We definitely do our best to get people in and out as fast as possible. Absolutely, Heather. Thank you. And thank you for listening to the program. Da, 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 da. Angie says, I'm totally against it. This going back to the curtailing of public speech in the public square. Before you know it, we'll be without a radio show because it could be dangerous. What? Not my show. It's like the old adage about, you know, it's like, well, then they came for you. You know, I didn't stand up for when they came for them or them. But then when they came for me, who will be there? That is the question. And I'm asking the question. And I'd love to give you a free coffee card at Captain's Coffee, an On Top of the World Radio t-shirt, and a copy of The Backyard Millionaire signed just for sharing your opinion. And I'm not going to pontificate on them. I may agree with you. I may disagree with you. This is conversation. And I think this is missing. This is what's missing, in my opinion, is we're good at yelling at each other online. We're good at sort of poking each other in the eye through social media, etc. What about just regular old discourse? What about regular old conversation between people that either agree or disagree or have? I say we have a lot more in common, you and I, if you disagree with me on this issue. And you can kind of get a sense of how I asked the question, what I think. I mean, I'm not even hiding that. I definitely think it's a very slippery slope. I think it's a very bad idea. And anybody who thinks opposite of that, I would just pose this question. Imagine it's Donald Trump administration, and they're going on Facebook and they're working collaboratively with these entities, which, by the way, receive public protection through Section 230, whatever they hide behind as far as not being a publisher. They're just simply a conduit, like a telephone company. And the Trump administration is saying, you know, there's just a lot of disinformation going on right now about children in cages down at the border. This isn't the case. We're just going to, anybody who promotes anything, any of these celebrities or anybody who gets on this soapbox about kids in cages, you know what, Julie Roberts, people, you know, we're just going to take them offline for a little while for the greater good, for the border security. It's public, it's good for everybody that we just do this, right? So my question still stands for you, though. Is it a good idea because of the public good that the government regulate that conversation? Love to hear from you at 299-7653, enter to win right now. I mentioned a moment ago I had some news, an announcement about The Backyard Millionaire. How to Create Wealth Where You Are with What You've Got is now available as an audiobook. I told you this was coming. Michael Dukes completed the narration a while back. And finally, Amazon goes through whatever process it is to approve it. It is now approved, and it is online in the Audible store, iTunes, Amazon. You can go to Amazon.com and look up The Backyard Millionaire. Click on the audio book. Michael literally brings the book to life. He mentioned this morning when I was on the show with him that, oh, you wrote a great book. Yeah, okay, I did. But he brings it to life. It's this whole other world. And that's what I love. It's its own thing. Now, it's like a theatrical production, the way Michael narrates books. So The Backyard Millionaire, if you've read it already, no problem. Let Michael Dukes read it to you. Audible, iTunes, wherever you get online audiobooks. The Backyard Millionaire audiobook now available. Go get a copy right now. When we come back, I'm going to talk just a little bit. I'm going to answer Cindy's question about pottery making. We've got times like these, and we'll read from The Backyard, well, not The Backyard, The Millionaire Library, when we return here to the Top of the World. Stick around. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Christopher Story, along with Mr. David Webb, bringing you what my mom calls the greatest show on earth. Thank you for being here. It's an honor to spend these hours each week with you between 1 and 2, Tuesday and Thursday. If you miss an episode, we've got one of last week's shows up and the second going up here this afternoon. But you can go to ilovehomeralaska.com and just click on the podcast button. It'll take you right to the archive. Or if you're just a regular podcast listener, you can just go wherever you collect podcasts on your phone and just search On Top of the World Radio or Chris Story, and you'll have our program right there to subscribe to. We'd love for you to rate and review it like others have done. We appreciate that. It does help other people find the show. And I just got to tell you, oh, I meant to bring a list with me today. Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, Yemen. I had all of these downloads. And then, of course, Washington, D.C., which makes me nervous. But all these downloads the other day from all these cool, I mean, like, countries where I figure they're just so repressed, so women, human rights are so forlorn and forgotten about that I thought, man, yes, we are absolutely penetrating into areas behind what still exists as an iron curtain of human rights. And so that just made me quite happy to see that. Somebody asked me, Cindy did specifically. She said, Chris, are you still making pots? In fact, I am. Thank you for asking. We have, I have pots actually down at the Art Shop Gallery, the Octagon Building in Homer, Alaska on Pioneer Avenue with the green awnings. Yeah, I've got pots in there. I've got beautiful. So, I mean, these tea bowls, these Raku tea bowls are amazing. Somebody, in fact, just bought one of the bigger plates. I don't know how many are left. I think maybe one more. One of the bigger plates here. I got a check from Jor-El. I was like, wow, this is awesome. Love that. But yeah, so I still make pots. And in fact, just last night, it's funny you should ask, I finished a project for a friend. Well, it's still got to be fired, but I made an urn for my friend's mother. And I got to tell you, it was really an honor to be asked. It was an incredibly special project, and I'd never made something like this before because I'm making it as beautiful as I can. Which, you know, yes, I'm talented. This is why I hate him. This is exactly the kind of buffoonery that I can't tolerate. Well, live with it. Pretty good at this. I mean, I've been doing it for 30 years. What would you expect? So I'm making this thing of beauty, this beautiful pot that's going to be buried. And it's going to have the remains of this wonderful woman. She was a beautiful woman, just one of the kindest people you've ever met. And it's going to be buried. So it's like a little ironic that I'm making something so beautiful that's intended to go underground and be there for a long, long time. So anyway, So I'm still making pottery. By the way, speaking of which, I just got a book in the mail, and I almost was late to the show because I just got this book. It's called Ode to Japanese Pottery, and I wanted to read from the first page. You know a book's going to be good when the first page, the first line in the first page gets you. So this is called Ode to Japanese Pottery. And they have a William Blake quote. Here it is. To see the world in a grain of sand and heaven in a wild flower, hold infinity in the palm of your hand and eternity in an hour. Oh, isn't that beautiful? I just love that. It's time for what Paul Harvey said. Times like these, you know, the thing about them is there have always been times like these. And it's times like nobody can say it better than Kid Rock and Paul Harvey put together. That's something you never thought you'd see or hear, right? Story Real Estate brings you times like these. Go online and search for your home, your Homer abode. Search anywhere in Alaska for real estate at ilovehomeralaska.com. By the way, incredibly beautiful website Tiffany's designed and built along with the help of Scott Dickerson. Go look at it. If you like Homer, go look at this website, ilovehomeralaska.com. And I think you'll agree. On this day, July 27th, 1953, the Korean War armistice was signed at Panmunjom, ending 3 years of fighting. Oh, I challenge you to... Oh, you're going to question my pronunciation? I don't think so. And in 3 years of fighting, 1953, on this day, July 27th, on that note, I want to say something. Do I want to do it now? Hang on a second. I have to go through... I've got a lot I want to cover today. Where is it? I think it's... Yeah, it's a little bit later is kind of what I was thinking. So I think I'll hold off on it. But can we just put a pin in that conversation about Korea, and specifically North Korea, which was created at the end of that war on this day, July 27, 1953. We will come back to it, I promise. On this day, 1940... Wow, think about this. Happy birthday to Bugs Bunny. Made his debut in Warner Brothers' animated cartoon, A Wild Hare, Bugs Bunny. I loved Bugs Bunny as a kid. I actually still do. If I see it on, which I don't know when I would, but if I do, I love it. I love Looney Tunes, too, by the way. We were just talking about that last night. Looney Tunes was very, very funny. Put out in the what, late 80s, 90s. Some funny, like, highbrow humor in it for adults and some fun stuff for the kids. Anyway, I digress. 1940, Bugs Bunny, happy birthday. On this day in 1960, Vice President Richard M. Nixon was nominated for the President Republican National Convention in Chicago. Let's see here. On this day in, what year was that? Yeah, 1974, on this day, the House Judiciary Committee voted 27-11 to recommend President Richard M. Nixon's impeachment on a charge that he personally engaged in a course of conduct designed to obstruct justice in the Watergate case. Wow, what a difference 14 years can make. On this day in 1967, in the wake of an urban rioting, President Lyndon B. Johnson appointed the Kerner Commission to assess the causes of the violence. 1967, urban rioting. There have always been times like these. On this day in 1980, the deposed Shah of Iran died in Egypt at the age of 60. On this day in 1995, the Korean War Veterans Memorial was dedicated in Washington, D.C. Again, don't let me forget, we'll come back to Korea. It's very important and it's related, it's tangentially related to you and what you did a couple of years ago, which we are still extremely grateful for. 1996, a pipe bomb exploded in public park during the Olympic Games in Atlanta, killing one person and injuring more than 100. Have you or have you not seen Richard Jewell, the movie that Clint Eastwood put together? Wow. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I highly recommend you watch it. Richard Jewell. And here's what's interesting about that. 1996 is pre-most. I mean, if you were on social media in 1996... You were a nerd, probably. I don't even know if MySpace was available back then. My brother, the nerd of nerds, would be able to tell you exactly, specifically what IM group he was part of at that point in time. And we were writing JavaScript, you know. But most people weren't. People with girlfriends and people who showered every day weren't on social media in 1996. But can you imagine if they had been? Because, see, the media did enough of a hit job on Richard Jewell that I still, all these years later, thought, didn't he have something to do with it? I kind of think he did, in the back of my mind. Watch the movie, Richard Jewell. Amazing. Thank you to just what a genius Clint Eastwood is. Wow. Anyway, I digress. On this day in 2003, Lance Armstrong won a record-tying fifth straight Tour de France title. I guess... hadn't been caught for juicing at that point yet. And on this day, same day, 2003, same year, comedian Bob Hope died at the age of 100.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Oh, the legend himself, Bob Hope. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. I'm Chris Story along with Mr. David Becker. A little bit later, we're going to be reading from The Millionaire's Library, Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. I just want to read a tidbit that I think if you haven't read the book yet, it will highly explain in just a paragraph or two, explain exactly why it's one of the most important books written in the 20th century and why it ought to be on your bookshelf and your bookshelf and your bookshelf and your bookshelf and everybody you care about. And I have no dog in that fight. It just literally is that eye-opening of a book, and I intend to prove that. Time now for your word presented by TBC Radio, 803-9424, 803-9424. Get the word out about your business right here on the radio. Call today, 803-9424, and say, would you just get the word out about my business? And say it like that, would you? Would you please do it? And then they'll know that I sent you. 803-9424, TBC Radio. Here's your word. Now, I have to practice this a minute. I have to actually look at the pronunciation. Okay, I've got it. I'm ready. Okay, but I need a little bit of help here on this one. Here we go. Okay, I'm ready. I'm all set for the word. Here it is. Jeremiad. Mm-hmm. Never heard of it, have you? Jeremiad. Come on. You've heard it. You're saying, you're pretending you're not. Well, I've heard it. Oh, yeah, Jeremiad. We all know it.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
No, Jeremiad. Okay, Jeremiad. J-E-R-E-M-I-A-D. Jeremiad is a prolonged lamentation or complaint or a cautionary, angry harangue. Jeremiad. What? What? Who uses this stuff? I do. You will. This is, we can put ourselves into the elite category. We can become elitist simply by adopting words and using them in everyday speak that nobody else understands. And then you'll be an elitist. Here you are, Jeremiah. Can we use it in a sentence? I actually can't. Jeremiah. Do it. Would you send it in at 299-7653? There'll be a second coffee card awarded to anybody that can literally use the word Jeremiah in a sentence that I can then repeat here and make myself look smart. J-E-R-E-M-I-A-D. Jeremiah. Prolonged lamentation or complaint, cautionary or angry harangue. That's your TBC word. Yeah, I don't have time to, I'm not going to start, because I don't want to start reading from Rich Dad, Poor Dad and not be able to finish that paragraph. It's really a very short paragraph I'm going to read, but I want to have a little bit of time to explain around it. I will tell you this, speaking of books, I'm working on a new book right now. I'm so excited. Every time. You say it about every time you're writing a book, and I do. I get excited about every book. I throw myself into the book that I'm writing currently, and it's called The Watchmen. And I don't know, it's a little bit like, we're being watched all the time these days. I mean, gone is a sense of privacy. As a kid, I grew up in the late 70s and 80s, and grew up since the early 70s, but, consciously aware, late 70s and 80s, total privacy. We enjoyed total privacy. But now, with access to constant contact, connection, there is definitely benefit, but in the wrong hands, being watched can be deadly. The manuscript is coming along really, really well. I've got a goal to bring it to you in print by November. I really want this to be a Thanksgiving read. It's chilling. It's a little scary. It's thrilling. It's a mystery, all wrapped into one. And meanwhile, this I'm also excited about because I have a team of people from, believe it or not, in the Midwest, Chicago and Wisconsin. I've got a team of people that are helping me bring a book together called The Making of Man. And it's the first book. And so that should be out by the end of summer, which is a great read. It's a very short read. Michael Dukes is doing the Audible version right now. The Making of Man, When List and Sell Becomes Life and Death. Just stay tuned. I'll tell you more about it. I'm Chris Story, along with David Mecker. You're listening to On Top of the World Radio. We'll be right back. Remember always that you not only have the right to be an individual, you have the obligation to be an individual, said Eleanor Roosevelt. It's not just a right. You must be. You're obligated to bring your best, bring what you've got, what you were born with, the purpose you're here for, to the table. Be you. Be yourself. I'm Chris Story. This is On Top of the World Radio on Purpose. Thank you for joining me. I want to read from the Millionaire's Library. We put this together last week, and we're actually building a page to go onto our website, ilovehomeralaska.com. There'll be a Millionaire's Library there with availability to order all these books that we put into it. But this is a book that should be on, I believe, everybody's bookshelf, called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And I want to just read briefly from part of the introduction. He says, once I made up my mind, this is Robert Kiyosaki talking in first person. So the story essentially is, I'll just give you this little bit of background. He's essentially got two dads, but not in that sense. He's got a rich dad that's a neighbor. His buddy Mike's dad is sort of a surrogate father to him in that he's extremely wealthy. They're growing up in Hawaii. His father, Robert's father, is an academic. He's a professor or some sort of, maybe he's a bean counter. He works in a college setting and he's got a PhD, et cetera. And then Mike's dad is a businessman, an entrepreneur, and he owns little quickie marts and stores and hotels and rentals and stuff all over the islands of Hawaii. And so Robert Kiyosaki has this opportunity to sort of be tutored or mentored by this rich dad, but he also loves and respects his poor dad, hence the title Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He said, once I made up my mind about whom to listen to, my education about money began. My rich dad taught me over a period of 30 years until I was 39 years old. He stopped once he realized that I knew and fully understood what he had been trying to drum into my often thick skull. There's definitely a lot of self-deprecation in Robert's writing. Money is one form of power. This is what I really want to get to. Money is one form of power. But what is more powerful? Financial education. See, money comes and goes, but if you have the education about how money works, you gain power over it and begin wealth building. The reason positive thinking alone doesn't work is because most people went to school and never learned how money works. So they spend their lives working for money. But I was only 9 years old when I started the lessons my rich dad taught me, and they were very, very simple. And when it was all said and done, there was only six main lessons repeated over 30 years. It's sort of like Bruce Lee's quote saying that I don't fear the person who's studied 1,000 kicks. I fear the person who studied one kick 1,000 times. I like that. So he's learned the same six lessons, essentially, he said, over 30 years. This book is about those six lessons, put as simply as possible, just as simply as my rich dad put them forth to me. The lessons are meant not to be answers, but guideposts that will assist you, your children, and your families to grow wealthier no matter what happens in a world of increasing change and uncertainty. Hello? Do we have that? Yes. It's always changing. That's the thing about change. It's constantly changing. You don't know what's going to happen to the monetary health of the United States of America in the next 3 to 4 years, but you can control your own financial education. So his first lesson, chapter one, that's the introduction. This is the first lesson. The rich don't work for money. That's lesson one. The rich don't work for money. Put simply, they put money to work for them.
So I started with just a little $18,000 unit. I broke up my credit card. I paid the $2,000 down payment with my credit card, so it was 100% finance. Now, most experts will say you, that's stupid. You don't do that. But if you know what you're doing, you can do it. A number of years ago, I bought a $7 million commercial building. I paid for it with zero down. And every month, after everything is paid for, it puts about $30,000 a month income in my pocket, or $360,000 a year for no money down. So that is the price of having a good education or a bad education. A good education is knowing the good debt versus bad debt, and how debtors can win if you know what you're doing.
You're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose. That was Robert Kiyosaki in his own words. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, a great, great book. I highly recommend it. I really encourage you to get a copy of it and get it into your library. And anybody you know that's a young person, I just get them a copy. Again, you're listening to On Top of the World, Radio on Purpose, and I'd be regretting this later if I didn't bring it up now. I said we'd put a pin in our conversation about Korea, North Korea specifically. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you remember Tim Peters? Do you remember Tim? He was on our show. He's a missionary. He lives in South Korea. Oh, first in on the hotline. Lisa Murkowski was in Homer giving her Jeremiah of why she needs to be reelected. There you go. Okay. Thank you, Jessica. That's the best use of it. Absolutely. Lisa Murkowski was in Homer giving her Jeremiah of why she needs to be reelected. Thank you. Very good. I see. I can always count on you. You'll come through. All right. Back to North Korea. Tim Peters runs an underground railroad, effectively. Remember our friend Chuck Hawkins brought him to us. So Chuck, may he rest in peace, Major Chuck. Because of him and his work in China and Tim Peters' work throughout China, through Mongolia to South Korea, hundreds of young people, young women, older people have been saved through this underground railroad. And you raised a lot of money. So we did an on-air auction fundraiser, well, just a fundraiser. You stepped up, you ponied up. A lot of you came out to the event that Chuck was putting on, and I was promoting and opened for Chuck and Tim Peters. And wow, it's so fascinating. And so they've done so much good smuggling people out of North Korea, which is an absolute abomination. So Glenn Beck on Saturday, I don't know if you subscribe to his podcast, but on Saturdays he puts out a long-form interview. In fact, local Homer residents, Marilyn and Paul Huper, were on Glenn Beck's Saturday program about a month ago because of their FBI raid. So that particular podcast, every Saturday, puts out a long-form interview, and he happened to have Yeonmi Park on, and she is a freed North Korean at the age of 13, escaped, thinking she was escaping North Korea into the hands of somebody that would help her and take care of her, when in fact she was being sold into sex slavery in China for $265, and her mother was sold for $65. And so she became a slave of a gang member in China. This conversation, as an American, I listened to this, and I just said, I didn't intend to just sit and listen to it. I thought, well, I'm going to be doing some work. I'm telling you, she will bring tears to your eyes. She will melt the hardest of hearts. Her view of America, we need this right now. We need to hear what she's saying. We need to hear Yeonmi Park's version of what she sees in America. The way she describes her experience at Columbia University, the way she describes her experience in Chicago, having been mugged and then called a racist because she pointed out the ethnicity of the people that mugged her. The way she talks about Second Amendment rights, First Amendment rights, the way she talks about America and the slippery slope we could be sliding towards, which is what she narrowly escaped, thought police, when you can't even control your, you don't even, how do you, somebody texted, I got to go to this, because my question was, hey, what do you think about what's going on with the government? Somebody, what did they say? They're totally against it, got that. There was somebody who texted something that I wanted to share. Somebody was saying, and I've got so many text messages, I apologize. Anyway, I'm not finding it, but, oh, here we go. Yep, here we go. I don't trust any of the numbers and the government puts out about the virus. I'm not getting any of this. See, this is it. I'm just saying, be careful. If we allow ourselves to be gaslighted by the government for the good of you, and you're not allowed to think even what you actually want to think, or you're not allowed to speak. This is something she said is very important. She said that actually, it's something she worked with Jordan Peterson on, that if your speech is controlled, your thoughts are controlled, because we speak and think. It's how we think things through. I don't know what I think about until I write it sometimes or speak about it. This is the reality. If your words are controlled, so will your thoughts follow. We got to be very, very careful about that. Anyway, go listen to that interview. Do yourself a favor. Look at America through the eyes of a refugee that barely, narrowly escaped at age 13, one kind of hell into another living hell, finally into freedom of America. And now she's looking and going, hey, 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 hold your horses. Wait just a minute here. This isn't good where we're headed. And I love that she says we're, because she's an American citizen now. So go listen to that. Yeonmi Park is her name. She's on the Glenn Beck podcast. There's a lot of places to probably hear her, but I particularly like this conversation. He asked one question, and this will pique your interest. He said, I don't mean to be insensitive or rude or anything, but in North Korea, when children die, do do parents feel anything? Because she had expressed, we don't really have terms for love. We don't really understand that other than the sovereign leader, other than the kins is who you're supposed to love. Her answer will bring a tear to your eye. I swear to you, if you, you will cry when you hear her answer. Do parents feel a sense of loss or do they feel sad when children die in North Korea? You got to go listen to this. Thank you for being here. I sincerely appreciate it. Heather has picked up a coffee cart today, and so, who is the other winner? Hold on a second. You got an, oh, Jessica. Heather and Jessica both getting coffee carts on Top of the World t-shirts and copies of The Backyard Millionaire. Thank you for spending some time with me. Thanks for sharing your opinion and trusting me enough to share your opinion with me. I appreciate that. I'm here for you. If you need anything during, before, after, any time of the week, 299-7653, or go to my website, ilovehomeralaska.com. For David Becker and myself, I'm Chris Story, reminding you, you, and I do mean you, were born on purpose.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why. It's not a question, but a lesson learned in time. It's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. I hope you had the time of your life. So take the photographs and still frames in your mind.